Well, you didn't mention you were a national champion at Florida State. You didn't mention.
Oh, I did forget. I forgot. You know what I mean? So, I didn't forget, but like, I forgot to mention that. Thank you.
Welcome back to another special siblings interview for Relatively Football. We are joined by some global siblings on the other side of the world for the first time. Really excited to be joined by Jameer and RB Fields. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And where are you guys based at the moment? Where are you living at the moment?
So right now we are in Rancho Cucamonga. It's about 35 miles east of LA, and this is where, you know, during the holidays we come, our parents live here, and this is kind of where we get together, family time in the off season.
Happy nice. Post, so, happy post Thanksgiving. I hope it was a chill Thursday.
Yeah, it was a good one. Ate way too much as usual, but you know, it's all good.
It's a going thing here. Especially with, you know, two athletes. Well, she's, you know, I tease her all the time because she's the athlete. I'm kind of like life post athlete, so I'm not as strict as she is, so I eat. And
hey,
it's a big cheat day. It's a national cheat day.
Right, exactly.
It's all very well put.
So, tell us a bit about yourself, guys. Obviously, we know a bit about you having organized this, but maybe tell the listeners who you are. So, Jameer, do you want to kick off on who you are and what you do and, I guess, your career so far as well?
Yeah, sure. So, I currently play for the Houston Dash in the National Women's Soccer League. I think it's my seventh year playing. I'm losing track at this point. I literally don't realize how I got to 7 years playing professionally, but I started off Florida State for college, went all the way across the country after, you know, growing up in Southern California. So it was a great experience for me though. And then started my pro career in Western New York, at the Western New York Flash in Buffalo. Then I drafted to Boston, though. Ended up signing with the Western New York Flash. Then went to Orlando Pride in the expansion draft. I was there for 2 years. Went to play in Europe. I did get to experience, you know, the European lifestyle, kind of. I don't know if you – well, in Norway, which it was so cold, but it was a good experience. Got to play Champions League. We got to play Lyon, which was like, you know, such a good team on the women's side, and not sure about the men's side. I don't really follow them, but great experience. Then led me to Houston for 3 years. Now it's going to be my third year in Houston. So yeah, that's kind of my career, you know, put short, kind of, you know, bounced around, but gave you a little, you know, summary.
Yeah, cool. And RB, I know you also have an athletic background, right? So what's your kind of story, I guess?
So I started my, I mean, obviously after high school, I started my athletic career in the Big Ten, playing baseball and football at Northwestern University. And I spent about a year and a half there, and I transferred to LSU in Baton Rouge, played for the Tigers. And then after that,
Football and baseball, did you? Yeah, at Northwestern.
And then I just played baseball at LSU when I was a Tiger, and I left there into the draft early after my junior year, and I was taken by the Chicago White Sox. Spent a year there in their system. That offseason, I was dealt to Seattle, and I actually did 5 years in Seattle. And then, so 6 years professionally, and then it was kind of like, I did 1 year in Mexico. That was an experience. And then that was kind of like, I had, you know, fought through some injuries and some stuff like that. And then, you know, that was kind of it for me. I've been retired now for 2 years, and 2018 was my last year. And
you got to say he was drafted 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I was trying to like make it, you know, like I can say, we can go on. I was drafted by the Atlanta Braves. I was drafted by the Chicago Padres, or this, yeah, the Chicago Padres, San Diego Padres, and then Chicago White Sox. So then, like, that was, you know, I left that out. Thank you, Jamia. But I was just like, you know,
it's kind of a
blur to me now. It was like I try to like condense my professional experience, but yeah, that was, you know, before, you know, that was like the really, really short version. Because I look at her and I'm like, well, you didn't mention you were a national champion at Florida State. You didn't mention
I forgot to mention that.
I'm thinking like, okay, so you're really making it short. So no, she didn't just play at Florida State. I mean, like, they won their first national championship in women's, their first women's soccer championship in school history. Like, I thought that was a big deal. So I was like, you didn't mention any of that. So, like, let me, like, make mine short. You know what I mean? So, you know.
You got to big yourself up, guys. You got to big yourself up for your achievements.
I appreciate this kind of humble off you're having right now between each other. It's like, who can be humble? No, that was really sweet. I like how you both jumped in to support each other. I think that's something we really want to talk about today. And obviously we're on the other side of the world from each other and have been for a few years. And that's a big part of like our relationship, is how you kind of check in with a sibling when you are close, but you're not geographically close.
Right.
So I suppose maybe starting there, how do you communicate with each other when you have been abroad? But also, so what's the age difference between you?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so yeah, that's the same as me and Flo. That's super close. So, like, what was it like when you maybe first went to LSU or Northwestern when you first left home? And then what was it like kind of when you left the country to Norway or to Mexico?
I wish I was the older sibling, because then you could just, you know, go off on your experiences and then didn't have to stay home with your parent. Like, when he left, you know, when he left high school, I started high school with him there. And so, like, I was always just comfortable with it. But then when he left, I was like, okay, what do I do now? So that was hard when he left, you know, and went to play. And I still had, you know, a year and a half or whatever left of high school, 2 years or whatever.
We talk to each other in some capacity every single day.
Yeah.
So whether it's text, like in college, like it was Facebook. I mean, like, comment on her, like, wall or something. I remember doing that, or like text, you know what I mean, before FaceTime was a big thing.
It was always something.
Some sort of communication every day. And when we might not have people like, oh, how do you talk to your sister or stuff like that? Because we're really, really close. And sometimes we kind of don't realize how close we are, because if like I don't talk to her for like 2 days, it feels like forever to me. Right. So I'm
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then like, it won't be anything. Like, I know what she's doing, but it's, you know, just hearing her voice, or even like her response, seeing her name pop up in my phone, like that is enough for me. You know what I mean? And that's how we've always, some point or another, we've always been able to just check in with each other. So obviously some conversations are deeper than others, I'm sure. Like, but like, we do really good at checking in.
Yeah.
Really, that's our thing, is we, you know, because it's just like we're so close in age, and we were inseparable growing up, like, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like we didn't have a choice but to be close, you know?
Right. And it kind of was hard with how, like, in college, when I was then in college and then you went into the minors, it was always opposite, like, seasons. So that was just like, you know, so whenever I'd come home for, like, you know, break, he was always still playing. And when he was home, so we always missed each other then. But then when I got to the pros, it was the same off season. So then that was great. So we would just train here every off season. We would always come back to California, because, you know, we never played professionally in California ever. That was not a thing. So we'd always, you know, come back and end up training the off season together. So that worked out later on in our careers.
What about when you're in different time zones? So obviously,
yeah, on the West Coast, Norway, that's like 10 hours.
Well, that was bad. That was like a 9 hour, I think it was 9 hour time difference. And I mean, it was just always the same thing. Like, and we have like a family group chat, so it's like, you know, we always talk on there too. So I don't know. When I think about, you know, keeping in touch after like all the different places we've been to, it never was really hard. We always made a way, and just like RB said, just because we're just so close, and so it's just like, it's just easy.
I forgot momentarily that she was in Norway, and that's like a 9 hour difference. Because
real love,
we're
true
always
love.
We've always been on a different time zone. You know, we don't kind of take it personal as like, oh, that was 8 hours ago. Like, I'm going to respond to the text message in however you sent it to me. You may have sent me three different things, but I'm going to respond to each of them, even if it was 8 hours ago,
right,
4 hours ago. I mean, that's just how we've been because, I mean, like I said, I was in Mexico. She was in Norway. She was in Tallahassee. And then our seasons are always, you know, I'd be in California. She'd be somewhere else. She'd be in California. I'd be somewhere else. So we're always in different time zones. So, like, I was like, oh, Norway, yeah, I guess that's a big time difference. But we're always in a different time. Right. So it was like, it wasn't like really, I kind of like forgot.
Yeah.
Do you have any lessons to, I mean, Flo and I, obviously, we're 6 hour difference and about 6,000 miles difference from each other right now, being in London and New Orleans. Do you have any words of wisdom to us or any other siblings out there about staying connected? Is it just about replying no matter what the time is, like you said? Or is it about sharing TV shows or sharing in jokes or, like you said, kind of group chat?
Yeah, I mean, all the TV shows, that's a good idea. Is that what y'all do?
Yeah, we do a bit of that. There's quite a lot of football chat. We talk about football.
We talk too much football, but and maybe has sport been a big connection maybe for you or anything else?
Yeah, I would say it would be like if there's a game on, like we're always like, you know, like something like that, because we grew up, you know, huge sports family, not just football as in, you know, our football.
Yeah, right.
not his football.
The football.
but we, you know, we have had many uncles and our dad play American football, and so, you know, that's kind of our thing for our family. But I don't know, words of wisdom for us, I feel like it's just really just keeping in contact. Like, don't let, you know, the relationship you had growing up ever fall off just because of like distance, you know, because when you think back to like so many good times growing up and all those good memories, like you don't want that to just be diminished by like just because, you know, you're not in the same place. So
it really doesn't even have to really be that deep. My words of wisdom, like if I say something, like I can be watching TV knowing that she's asleep, and I think of an inside joke that we have between each other, which is a lot, I'll send it to her. And then she'll
wake up. Can we get a preview of one inside joke?
Okay, so one of them is that we both make like weird animal noises.
Perfect for a podcast.
So
we're not doing those. Sorry.
No, we don't get a preview of the noise. That's for the
I didn't know you were gonna bring this one up.
Well, you know, because that's what pops in my head. So like, I'll like, you'll send me like a voice message or something like that, and I'll respond with like the laughing, crying emojis.
That's my favorite one.
And I'll laugh in person too. So it's like little things like that. And that may be the only conversation or the only dialogue we have that entire day.
Has it been helpful for you guys both having been or are professional athletes to be able to share in some of the struggles that you face, whether it's being traded and almost having your future kind of out of your hands and also injuries and other things like that? Do you think that's made you connect a bit more?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. For me, that was key because our careers, whether we look back on it now, have been so similar in some type of way to where like everybody wants to, you know, go to college, be drafted and like be with one team for like, you know, I mean, we've both been gone through, you know, being cut, you know, signed by new teams, being traded. We went through all those experiences together. I did it, you know, obviously because I'm older. I did it first, and then it was like, boom, like, it was her. You know what I mean? I mean, I went to three different colleges in 3 years. You know, we were able to share a lot of those same experiences with each other because I'd be like, she'd be like, oh, well, this is happening. I'd be like, hey, I can give you a story of when that happened to me. And that really, like, allowed for our relationship to connect on a different level.
Going off that, it's like, because a lot of times, like, if you're cut or something, and not everybody experiences that in their professional career. It is part of professional sports, but not everyone experiences it. And when you do experience it, you just feel so alone and, like, a lot of emotions, like embarrassed, like a lot of them come with, you know, it's a really humbling experience. But so to have like a sibling, you know, the closest person to you, be able to go through like similar things, it's just like, it's not all I needed, because I don't wish that to happen to him, you know. But it was just crazy that he was like, okay, I've been cut too, like, pick yourself back up, like, we're in this together type of thing. Because yeah, like, get cut from a team and all your teammates are still on that team, you know, and you have to go through it like seemingly by yourself. But I didn't, which was so nice. So
it really just brings you closer, and you know, a sense of where you feel like someone understands what you're going through at that moment is a big help.
Exactly.
Yeah, the team that doesn't trade you is Team Fields at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That will never cut you. And, you know, you're going to be a part of the franchise for, you know, forever.
Like, exactly. I like the way you put that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
But how do you kind of win together as siblings? Or how do you win together as supporters of each other? I think it's really cool to see how you pick each other up. So, yeah, what's been moments where, like, you have managed to get to the game, or you've stayed up till 4 a.m. in Norway to watch RB make a catch or hit a home run or something?
Yeah, when I was in Norway, constantly following. Same with, like, a lot of it, I just remember, like, when I was at Florida State and, you know, just always just super involved with, like, because, like, the MILB had, like, a website and you can listen in on the games. A lot of them were, like, listening in, so I just had to, like, I couldn't even see it, but I'm just sitting there listening while
going to bed with the kind of Chattanooga lookouts in your ears.
Exactly. Right. Stuff like that I would have to do. And but yeah, so I always found a way to watch the games. And but like when trades, cuts, stuff like that happened, how we got through it together, I just think that like RB said, like a lot of it's out of your control. And that's how kind of been the kind of like the theme of us getting through each challenge, you know. We've trained, like I've seen him train so hard growing up. That's what made me want to play sports, because initially they try to put me in, I'm not saying dance is in the sport, but like it was just boring to me. And then piano, and I'm just like, I want to contact, I want to like train hard and, you know, try soccer, other sports. We did swimming, he did karate, I did, we both did BMX racing, we horseback rode all growing up, snowboarding. So we tried everything, and like, he inspired me to do that. But I saw the hard work, I saw all the training, all the running. So when you like get to the professional in like through college, you just like you realize that I put in the work, and things may be out of my control, but I put in the work. And he can say the same for me. So like that kept us going and keep playing another year, because like we put in the work, we deserve to be here, and we just support each other through that, really.
As long as you have if there's an opportunity for you to keep a jersey on and play the game that you love and you're still having fun doing it, by all means, do it. And that's kind of like where we have to keep, because it's hard, and we have to keep reassuring and we pick each other up, because there'll be times where she won the national championship at Florida State. I'm watching the game in a minor league locker room on a TV this big, going nuts. My teammates are like, what's going on? Nobody really cares but me, right? And it was so awesome to see her, because I wasn't there, but I made sure I could finally see that glimpse. But at the time, what she didn't know is I was 0 for 25 at the time. I hadn't gotten a hit in 25 at bats. So mentally, like, I'm like, dude. But then, like, after that, we're seeing her at the highest part of her college career. I remember I went on a tear. In that next month, where I was like, I was minor league player of the month in Seattle Mariners organization, because I saw her do something so phenomenal, right? So it was like, awesome. It was kind of like, it was something.
You left out that detail in me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
breaking news.
Exclusive.
We've had so many moments like that in our, like, I can tell you, I can sit here for 2 days straight and tell you guys all the, like the moments that we've had between each other. Is like, if somebody's doing well, it's not like very rarely are we both doing well at the same time. As funny as that sounds.
But you can inspire each other. You can kind of.
Right. So if I see her,
you can snap the streak.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's kind of really what has catapulted like our careers and how we just able to just keep it going because we just have a support system. And like, I don't care what anybody really says. If she, if she says something to me, and it's always positive, you know, always, you know, so.
Keeping you, sorry, Jameer, did you want to say something?
No.
I was just going to keep you on that spot, RB, and then I want Jameer on the same question, which is, let's talk about the Challenge Cup win then. Let's keep it even, you know, let's move forward 6 years from being in the locker room and watching Florida State on your phone, and let's go to 2020. So, RB, where were you watching the Challenge Cup victory? And then, Jameer, how did it feel to be there and that, you know, another good win for Jameer?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is now I don't miss any of her games now. You know what I mean? If they're on or if I can
number
listen
one fan.
To them. Yeah, I can.
Or maybe
see
number three behind your parents, or
right.
RB's number one. No. Getting the title, he's got the title.
Yeah, right. I hold that. Yeah, I remember when I was at LSU, and she was at Florida State. I used to drive from Baton Rouge to Tallahassee just to go see her. I was here at home when they won the cup this year, and I remember talking to her every day, like, dang, you guys might do it. Like, you know, like, and it was kind of weird. I mean, this has been a tough year for everybody, right? Like a bubble, pandemic. I'm happy I'm not playing in like a sport. I talked to some of my guys, my buddies that are like still playing, and you know, they didn't have a minor league baseball season this year. If you didn't make the big league roster, you didn't play, which sucks for a lot of people. So I mean, it's just like so much unknown and like playoffs. I mean, we watched the NBA bubble. I mean, they had their own little bubble. Yeah. So I'm like talking to her about that whole experience was just wild. But like I said, we talk every day. You know, we talk every day.
What was it? Jameer, what was it like in the bubble? Like what is that experience like?
Yeah. So, I mean, you just go to training. First of all, I've had over like, I could say 50 COVID tests, like more.
And she just says them like, "Oh, I'm going to get COVID tested." Yeah. I'm like, "Whoa, that sucks!" Because that, oh my god,
yeah,
yeah.
A little brain scratch, as I call it.
Yeah, literally. So had so many of those, and we would. So that was like every 3 days, and then so we basically go to training, back to the hotel. We were in a hotel with another team, but you couldn't go on their floor. You had separate dining areas. If you wanted to go on a walk, you could really only go on a walk in the parking lot. And then otherwise,
what?
Otherwise, you're just.
Oh my God. So it was really weird and quite boring.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was very boring.
Because I'd be like, hey, what are you doing today? She's like, oh, I'm just going to go eat, then come back to the room. Because what I really.
Going
to
go check out this parking lot, see how it looks.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah, do a few laps.
What I really got to enjoy about my career is that everywhere I've essentially been in my life, like I've been, you know, all over the country and some parts of the world, I've been there through sports. So I enjoyed the travel.
Yes.
So right. So being in a situation, like even if, you know, being in a situation where like everybody's in one spot, like that sucks. Right. Like, you know, yeah. I like going to like play in different stadiums, seeing different type of fans. Like now we don't have any fans. Like, oh,
but for me, it was after just being quarantined and being in preseason in Houston and just like maybe not having a season and thinking about that take like a whole year just wiped away, like of your, like, you know, you don't get any younger. So a whole year just wiped away. So then in like being able to go to the bubble and play games, I was excited and I was thankful because it, you know, looked like we weren't going to have any games after I, you know, me and, you know, your teammates like trained so hard to prepare for the season, you know, to get so fit and whole preseason as a team trying to get ready. So that was really cool that like how we ended up going and winning too, because 2020 was so crazy. You know, the team did get super close after having to just be there and just like really it was like team activities and then go to training and then you could hang out with your teammates. It's all you could. So it was a lot of teammate time. And so then to go and win it, it was a cool experience after like just 2020. So
I think with her too, and it's like been like a common theme with her, like watching her throughout her life, right? I watched this girl win at what, 3 out of 4 ACC championships at Florida State in 4 years. 3 ACC championships and a national championship. And then win with a sense, which is essentially how the Lakers won the NBA Finals. Like, she just did that for her sport. And she's like, yeah, we won it. It was great.
No big deal.
And here I am. I'm like, yo, that's dope. Like, I've never, like, my professional, I played 7 years, never won any type of, you know, minor league World Series or anything like that. Like we won an SEC championship in 2012 when I was at LSU. I got one ring. She's got, like, five. So I'm really proud of that. But it's just, like, I just thought it was so cool because I'm watching her, you know, win. And I think of it kind of like in guy sports, I mean, I guess. But, like, you just won a World Series. You just won a Super Bowl. Or you just won an NBA final in your sport. You're on the same level as that. And I'm just like, that's all. Like, I just think it's cool because I never got that. I never got to experience that. So, like, I remind her all the time. And she's just like, yeah. You know, it was cool. You know what I mean? She's so humble about it. But, like, I mean, I don't know if she's used to, like, winning championships. I'm not. But, you know, it's just, like, it was so cool for her to just add another notch to her belt or, you know, if you know, or what have you. Like, that's just a part of her story, and I think it's phenomenal.
Jamia, loads of people were watching it. Well, a lot of people are watching it in the UK because they got record numbers, and obviously CBS got record numbers for that. So did you guys get a sense of how big it was in the bubble? And have you noticed a bit of a change since you got back home in the way that domestic women's football over there is maybe getting treated a little bit and its status?
Well, we didn't really hear the numbers till like after. They would kind of say like, we got like, you know, a lot of viewers on this game, but then the final, after we heard those numbers. And then just like to get back to Houston, how we had like a drive-through parade and like how many people came, we were like, this parade's about to end really fast. We're like, no one cares. We were there for like it the whole time that the parade went on. There's so many people, like they decorated their cars. It was just like that they cared. So, but I didn't really realize that people were watching it in the UK. That's awesome. And so I knew we had the support, you know, on this side, but the fact that, you know, women's soccer is getting huge here and then that y'all are watching us over there. Because I know women, like football in general is huge in Europe. But, yeah, no, I definitely feel like I've noticed, like, a change. I feel like we're growing. And for the people who are – I mean, the young girls who are trying to play in the pro league in a couple of years, it's going to be really good.
Would you come and play in England if you got the call up? Would you come over and play here?
Of course. That was I really wanted to play in England at some point, but I feel like y'all's league just, there's like all these rules. It's so hard to get to that league. I'm just like, okay, maybe it's not meant for me, but I do, like, I've watched a couple games because there's so many women from our league playing there. So I've watched
right, and Rachel's out there.
Yeah. Yes, and Rick. Yeah, she's playing, West Ham. Yeah, so she's had a great year too. So, but we want her back, you know.
Yeah, we can't keep her. Yeah. We have to let her go.
Exactly.
I was going to touch on, like you were saying, the game's growing, the women's game, that is. Do you feel like, obviously, RB, from what you've been talking about, has been a big inspiration to you in regards to like wanting to be an athlete and saying, no, dancing doesn't connect with me. Horse racing doesn't connect with me. I want to be an athlete. And I think this is an interesting time for the way we talk about lots of gender equality or equality in all aspects of society. But particularly into sport when it comes to equal pay, equal resources, even the way the words we use to describe women playing the sport. How has your relationship to each other kind of either like helped you be in a really positive environment, or have there been times either RB or Jamia where you've had to like stick up for the other person and say, hey, don't listen to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, as far as equality and equal pay, you know, there's a lot that goes into that because, you know, one argument is, you know, tickets being sold for men and women. So that's a whole other argument. But when you talk about the work being put in and athletically, like we did the same workouts. Like when we were younger, we obviously didn't lift when we were younger. So I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about running workouts, agility, sprints, push-ups, sit-ups.
Time on the pitch. Yeah.
Time on the pitch, like, you know, you know, and he would, you know, he would go out there with me too, you know, play soccer, we'd help each other out. That, so all that time, the effort, and the, like, the work, like, women deserve more because of that. And so that's, like, the biggest thing for me, because, you know, a lot of, I feel like women or people in general just might not know, like, exactly what, you know, the guys are doing for their workouts. It's hard to compare, but growing up and being able to see, you know, a man or a boy when we were younger next to me, and then me doing the same things, you know, it was just like, okay, like, we do deserve more, like, when I get to these conversations. But we never really had trouble with, I mean, my dad, when I was younger, he didn't say that, like, I couldn't play, like, other sports, but he just didn't think I wanted to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a common kind of stereotype, or people just have blind spots.
Exactly. And he had a bunch of brothers and one sister, but a bunch of brothers. So, like, I guess having a daughter, he's probably like, don't you want to go, you know, do, you know, something like piano? I'm like, no, I want to run these hills, do these push-ups and sit-ups before bed, just like Arby was doing. And so, but then once he saw that I was on board, you know, I was like, what did I get myself into? Because he was like, it was like, there was no turning back for me.
Right. He was all in.
Yes.
And the thing is about it, like, going back to that, for me, as I look at this whole picture, is to where, you know, everybody wants to hold, you know, men's sports, or, like, you know, men, like, and their professional sports to, like, a certain, like, on this pedestal, when I would argue, and I'm not saying this because my sister's a, you know, a professional female athlete, but I've seen it. Like, I saw it at LSU, I saw it at Northwestern, I saw it even in high school. And growing up with her, like, I was like, they had to make me, to some extent, like, my dad, there was no option that I was going to get up at 5, and we had horses, goats, dogs, and we had, like, our little mini farm here in Southern California. My dad's from Shreveport, Louisiana, so we kind of brought that piece here.
Represent but, Louisiana.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So
getting a lot of mentions.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like I had no choice that I was going to do this. I was gonna play football, I was gonna play, and it was like, I wanted to do it, but I didn't have a choice at the same time. For me, and I watched her not be pushed really at all, but she pushed herself, right? To a point to where no one's making her do this. I used to look at her like, why? She said, I wanna do push-ups and sit-ups like you. And I'm like, why? If you can go upstairs and go watch cartoons, go do it, because that's what I would do, right?
I'm just trying to kick back and watch Dexter's Lab. Why are you trying to do?
And that's the thing for me. I would be like, why do you want to do this? Like, I hate doing push-ups before bed. I hate doing sit-ups before bed. I hate getting up early and running. She wanted to come. She voluntarily did that. And once she got to where my dad was like, yeah, she's a pretty good athlete herself, right? There was no turning back. But I watch women work, push themselves harder than a lot of men do in their respective sports, just to be seen as equal, right? And sometimes even harder, because I've seen guys, and even myself, like, you know what I mean, you don't see women signing $500 million softball contracts, right? Or women's soccer getting Ronaldo money. You just don't. And then, you know, we can get deeper, we can get really deep into that. But at the end of the day, as far as, like, work ethic, mentality, what they put into their respective sport, there should be some type of compensation for that, in my opinion.
No doubt. You've both been so generous with your time. So I'm just going to ask one more question. We'll keep it kind of warm and fuzzy as we close out. I just want each of you to kind of sum up what the other one means, and what, like, where, you know, what your relationship means to each other, and how it's made you the athlete you are today.
It's going
to
get emotional.
Yeah, I'm like, I always cry, so I'm not going to cry.
Crying is allowed on the podcast.
Yeah. So no, just basically, I mean, all I tell RB all the time. I don't know if I tell you all the time, but in my head I do. That that basically I wouldn't have made it so far in my career. I wouldn't still be trying to play, you know, if, you know, and when he decided to retire, that's where the crying was. I bawled my eyes out because of the fact that we just gone through all this together. And really, I didn't know how I was going to get through it by myself. So, yeah, so it is emotional, really, because you spend all that time growing up. And you can go. I can get through this. Okay. You just spend all that time growing up, all those memories, all the hard work, and it's just really beautiful, actually. So just being able to have a brother to get me through all that, through all the hard times that I think about, and it's just, I could talk in circles all day, but it's just is what has got me to this point and why I'm still going, and I'm just thankful. And I'm going to cut it there because I do cry a lot. And anybody who listens to this that are my friends, they know.
No, that was beautiful. That was really sweet. Really nice. Oh, but you've got to compete with that. That was very, very nice.
Next up, batter up. But let's not go 0-25 this time, Arby.
You know, yeah, and the thing is, like, going back off to that, when people say, oh, I'm your biggest fan, but, like, really, like, because I remember sucking and been in the lowest points of, like, my career, where, like, everybody around, like, even my own friends, like, yeah, man, I thought, like, you were good at baseball or something like that. And she's always been like, oh, you okay? You'll go out and get a hit tomorrow. Like, I've been 0 for July. Like, I'm just being real. Like, baseball, like, I go through these spurts, and then I'm just like, yo, I don't even really, like, want to get out of bed. I don't want to, because it was just like, and then she's like, what are you talking about? Like, you're going to go out and get, like, 2 hits today. And I'll be like, have you not seen, like, my last 10 games? Like, I'm not even close to getting 1 hit. You know what I mean? But it was, like, those days where I played in, anybody out there listening that's played in, you know, minor league baseball, I mean, you play in some stadiums. I mean, I played in Clinton, Iowa. I played in Pulaski, Virginia, population 6. They're all cousins. But for her, it was like, well, you know, are you excited that she called me in the morning and, you know, like, wherever she is, like, you excited to play today? And I'd be like, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? Whatever. But, like, just call me. Like you said, we talked about time zones earlier. Just when I didn't believe in myself and or anybody else believed in me, I don't really know. But, like, she was like, yeah, like, you're fine. Let's go. Like, you know? And in return, when she was going through, you know, situations in her career where I can be like, now it's my turn to put her to, because, like, even like, I'm like the big strong, like the big brother, right? I'm supposed to be, you know, strong for her, but I mean, she's brought me out of some deep pits, especially like in you know, just in our, you know, not only in life, but, like, you know, not only in our sport, but in life, you know. So it's just been so easy, and like, as we love hard and we love each other very much, obviously, but like, we go at it too, right? Sometimes we go at it, and then it's like, at the end of the day, it's just like, we can't even, it's always for the better of each other. I want to see the best in her, and she wants to see the best in me, and at the end of the day, that's just what it comes down to.
Well said. Yeah, I think I totally echo that. Florence Flo is definitely one of my biggest inspirations in life. And
how kind.
I take a huge amount of support from her for supporting me, as well as sort of just, yeah, watching her grow and be so splendid in life. It's definitely a real treat. So I feel that, Arby, as the big brother who has to get picked up by the little sister. I know what it's like.
And I was going to say real quick, who's older?
Yeah.
Me, 2 years, exactly the same.
Okay, difference. See?
So, oh, you know, oh, yeah, 2 years, so, okay.
You know, like, old enough to be like, oh, big, strong, big brother, but like,
no,
young enough, big, like, you guys are
still... Big, weak little brother. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Flo, I think that's everything then.
So much amazing, amazing conversation, guys. It's been so great to chat to you and to hear about your journeys together and separately. And we wish you all the best. And Jameer, we're looking forward to seeing you next season and the return of the Challenge Cup as well. Dash to defend it as well.
Yes, let's go.
Don't break that glass. So don't break that glass on the bus ride home. Bring it back for a second time. Back to Houston.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much. Love to the family in California. I hope you had a good cheat day. And happy holidays and stay chill.
All right, happy holidays to y'all too.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.